Let's do
Love
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for the brothers and sisters. All right? To our people. We got Word of Witch. We got Marvin Rome and the crew. We got Dr. Lafayette Maxwell. We got Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, Dr. Mona Jones. Don't tell somebody about the show. Oh, yeah. Y'all know what it is. It's a love time. It's family time. It's what we do. And we're going to keep doing it consistently over and over and over until we get where we need to be. Because there is no better love, no greater love than ourselves and kind. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for our people. Y'all probably wondering why I say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, because we are survivors, right? When you look at the plight of what we call African American, Negroes, colored, black, whatever you want to say to us and how we have moved into this space and time, right, from being captive and enslaved to segregated to marginalized to redlined to mass incarcerated, you name it, and we still here. It's a celebration. Oh yeah, because we are resilient and we keep coming through it. Now we got some dysfunctional gaps in there, but we can clear those up if we do the work. We got some changes that we need to make, but we can clear that up if we do the work. We got some things that we need to do in lines of education, but we can clear that up if we do the work. Oh yeah. If we would do the work of working on ourselves, right, getting our attitudes straight, our mindset straight, the choices and decisions that we make about parenting and mothering and fathering children, oh, we'll get it straight. Something good can happen with our people when we begin to rectify and refine and define who we are and what we do and why we're doing it. We're going to have to make some decisions going forward about who we're going to be as a people. My thing right now is to begin to say no to some things that we're doing in our community. We're going to have to say no to some parents, right? You can't tell me how to raise my kids. No, but I could give you some good advice, right, on how to rear your children, on how to talk to them, how to treat them with respect and dignity. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what we got to do, right? We need good parents. And there are ways in which we're going to have to determine the strategies, right, and the trajectory that we use to move forward as black, Negro, colored people in this country. The thing is going to be is how we're going to integrate this new relationship that we have with ourselves with the old system that we keep wanting to operate in. That's a fact, right? We're doing it to ourselves now because if we know the system, and this is where we're talking about the peace concept I'm coming up on now. If you learn the system and you learn how to navigate the system, then you don't make the same mistakes over and over again. And I would dare say that many of our people are insisting on making the same mistakes over and over again. We are recidivists in a different way. Right, because we cannot continue to allow the dysfunction to go on in our communities. Can't do it. We absolutely cannot do it. And now for the peace concept. We're asking for peace now, right? We're going to have peace walks, peace marches, peace rallies, peace programs, peace show, peace academies to bring peace into ourselves, one, individual, into the family and the home and the household, the family and community, where we're walking and marching, having, like Dr. Maxwell said, come together days. Well, we're coming together in peace, right? And we're coming together in unity, and that's the work that we're going to have to do, right? So let's look at the peace concept, five pillars, right? Pillar number one is P, which is political. We have to have a political agenda. We do, right? We got to understand the system, learn how to manage the system, learn how to operate inside of the system, navigate the system, learn the laws, people, cool system, and how it works. Learn democracy, right? And then move over to the E, which is economics, and then learn capitalism, right? Don't become a capitalist, but learn the system so you can better navigate that to help your family. We must build institutions that define our own reality, our own schools, our own Fortune 500 companies, our own shipping companies. That's right, shipping companies, international travel, right? International exchange, international commerce with our brothers and sisters on the islands and in the continent and around the world. That's what we got to do now. We got to step up our game. You know, I had a lecture the other day, and we talked about toothpaste, toothbrush, and underwear. When we start producing those, we could do it real good if we get that done. And then we can go to shoes and then pants and clothes and stop wearing other people's stuff and wear your own. Those are the things we have to do. I got that directly from Dr. Clark, if y'all know who he is. If you don't, you need to go out and research Dr. John Henry Clark. Brother George turned me on to him some years ago, I might say. All right. Now, A, the A is really important. That's athletics. It's health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You have to have a health, wellness, fitness, nutrition agenda that covers mental health, physical health, and emotional health. Your diet is very important. I'm trying to warn you, get away from the processed food, all the salts and all the sugars, and get back to an earth-type diet, right, where you are eating from the earth. There's man's food and there's God's food, and you're going to have to determine which diet you're going to be on, right? Our people are leading the league, and I say the league, the world, in health disparities. We're the sickest people on the planet. Our habits and our behaviors, we must change. We must rectify that by changing some of the things, many of the things that we're doing that's harming our health. And then there's C, relevant cultural programs. We need to know who we are, right? We don't have to act like other people. We could just be good at being ourselves. That's all that we really need to do, become really good at being the best you that you could be. Work on your flaws. If you got some stuff that you need to work out, work it out, right? Chin up, chest out, and be the proudest, best person that you could be to represent our people and our communities. And last, it's a comprehensive education that looks at all of those areas, bringing it together, the next generation, to prepare them to compete in this world. Not in a negative way, but we have the best and brightest people, but we got to utilize their talents and give them confidence in themselves. That is the NAAEA pillars of the peace program and empowerment. Join us, NAAEA.weebly.com. We're building. We're working on it. Oh, also, we got our newsletter coming out, our next edition. Go out to the website. You can find it on the membership page. Check it out. We're coming out. If you want to advertise in it, we most certainly will welcome you to do that. We need your support. In order to build, you have to have resources. And we're saying support this so we can support ourselves. And now for the Stan Macklin moment.
Man,
be right
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
deck.
It you, I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, when are we going to start playing with this thing, for real, and get it together and start developing our people and giving them the confidence they need, right? And somebody mentioned the crabs in the barrel, right? When are we going to stop the pulling and start the picking up and the healing, right, and the support and the nurturing that we need, right? We've been through a whole lot. Our people are damaged, but the healing now must begin to take place, and it has to take place within us. And the only people that can do that, the only people that can heal us is ourselves. And we're going to have to do the work of resolving our issues one day at a time. And now for my favorite part of the show, y'all know what that is, the Wooden Bench and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Come on, Brother George. Bring it, brother. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see you rocking out there. Happy birthday to my wife. Happy birthday, baby.
It.
That's tomorrow. Just in case y'all didn't know. Mm-hmm. Brother George, bring it on home now. Hey, Mom. Family. Great. Long on the private Saturday. Let me get Brother George in here. My brother, welcome to the show.
Yes,
how are
sir,
you?
Brother.
How are you?
Yes, sir.
Brother George.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm
doing
happy.
Fine,
and I'm looking forward to what you got to share today. You know, I've been waiting a whole week for it.
Well, let's see what I can bring to the table. Today's Kwanzaa principle from the Nguza Saba is Imani, which means faith. To believe with all our heart in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Imani. One of the most important and meaningful of the Adinkra symbols. Jai Nayam is simply translated, accept God. One interpretation is, no one has sent this world from its, no one has seen this world from its beginning, and no one will see its end, except God. It is symbolic of the spirit within each of us through which we can elevate ourselves to a new level of consciousness and self-actualization. It's pretty deep. I like that. Now, I'm going to quote from a book in the Willie Lynch segment today that is very significant, and I've been trying to figure out how I could get in and quote the sister's book and have, you know, like understanding, because the book is very deep. It's a book called Yorugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. It's by Marimba Ani. Now, what she's doing is she's introducing you at the beginning of the book to the caricature Yorugu. According to the Dogon people of Mali in West Africa, Amon, the creator, ordained that all created beings should be living manifestations of the fundamental universal principle of complementary or twinness. Complementary or twinness. This principle manifests itself as the wholeness which is created when female and male pairs join in all things. Such pairing establishes equilibrium, cooperation, balance, and harmony. Ama, therefore, equipped each being with twin souls, both female and male, at birth. But in one of these primordial placentas, the male soul did not wait for the full gestation period to be born. This male being was known as Yorugu, who arrogantly wished to compete with Ama and to create a world better than that which Ama had created. With his fragmented placenta, he created Earth, but it could only be imperfect. Since he was incomplete, that is, born prematurely without his female twin soul, realizing that he was flawed and therefore deficient, Yorugu returned to Ama seeking his complementary female self. But Ama had given his female soul away. Yorugu, forever incomplete, was doomed to perpetually search for the completeness that could never be his. The earth he had defiled in the act of self-creation was now inhabited by single-souled, impure, and incomplete beings like himself. Yorugu's descendants, all eternally deficient, ordinarily in an incestuous act, since he had procreated with his own placenta, the representation of his mother. Now, I know that's a deep beginning, and she's talking about the European man. And she starts out with that introduction to the European man. And she goes on, like, this is like a book that's 600 pages long. And so she goes on to state different facts to back up what her claim was. But Yorugu was a character of the Adinka civilization, and they gave a name to characters in the world, or they gave a name to the European people that they were incomplete. That's why they behaved the way that they did. And it's like different things to back that up in The Iceman's Inheritance by Michael Bradley, that talks a little bit about what he calls it, I forget, but it's information that in his book and in her book that will really clarify the statement that I just made, because I know I said a lot, and it's deep, you know. So, Brother Marvin, if you don't have a question, then it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. You know, knowledge is power, right?
Yes, sir.
And so sometimes you're going to have to get deep.
Yes, sir, it is.
We're learning, right? We're growing, right? In order to teach,
yes,
train,
sir,
and develop, you're going to,
yes,
have to,
sir,
be challenged, to challenge yourself. All right, so here's the empowerment question of the week. Started off with Imani, which is faith to believe. Why do we have to, as African-Americans, colored, Negroes, black, whatever you want to call us, why do we need to have faith in ourselves right now?
Well, one thing, I kind of think that we're at a point of we really don't understand who we are, so we don't understand the value that we bring to the world. And we really don't understand that the world really still relies on us to be its creators of different systems and enhancing what is already here. Yeah, I know they take it and they make it, sometimes they make the things that we did make it more advanced than what it was when we first built it. And so the buildings today are more modernized, but we still built the first buildings, and they were very well built. And they may take mathematics and use it in a different way, but we still were the ones that created those mathematics. They may take the clock and turn it into something smaller like a wristwatch, or put a clock in a phone, but we still were the ones that came up with that clock. So once we start relying on ourselves, it's a whole lot of things that we could do to advance this world in the direction that it needs to go in. Because right now, things are very stagnant. You know, just pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to the infrastructure in America, and then look at the infrastructure in some of the other countries, you know, around the world. And you see that they're advancing much more than they are here. And that's, a lot of that has to do with the fact that we need to get back to work, so that we can continue to help this world advance. I don't want to take up a whole bunch of time trying to really go deeper into that, brother, but that's basically my response. We need to count on ourselves, because we are the most counted on people in the world, believe it or not. So,
all right.
You,
thank you, Brother George. Thank you. That was good. That was good. I love it. I love it. Thank you, sir. Great segment. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to do the work now, right? And the brother's right. We're going to have to do the work. We are going to have faith in ourselves. We're going to have to know who we are. We are strength. We are power. We are the gift. We're science. We're math. We are the original kings and queens. So rise, brothers and sisters. Rise, right? Rise, right? What will you do with your newfound freedom? You can't mess that up. It's a Memorial Day weekend. A part of that is memorializing soldiers who fell for this country, but we want to memorialize our ancestors who lost their lives so you can have a place in this world right now. Some of our ancestors gave it up, sold out for the opportunity for you to be here. Some of them said, I'm not going any further. I would never be a slave, and they gave up their lives. Someone slaved and toiled and washed dishes and suckled somebody else's children, and some were lynched and beaten to pulp of their lives and so many other things. And we acknowledge our ancestors today, no matter what condition they were in, that we now offer them the opportunity to just say thank you to our ancestors for surviving the most horrible experience any group of humans have ever done in the whole range of humanity. Thank you, ancestors. We thank you, and we thank you. All right, now we got to get on with the show, y'all. I got to make one more announcement. That is, Dr. Maxwell is coming up with a great show. So tell somebody, 845-277-9250 is the live call-in line. We got Slido live today. Go on out there and join me. Make a comment. I want to see y'all come out there, right? Slido.com, S-L-I-D-O, real simple, .com, S-L-I-D-O.com. The code today is 429-7794. I'm over there. I'm ready. I'm looking. Right, Slido.com, go over there and say, hey, Marvin, you can go over there and say, hey, I'm reaching in for North Carolina or Philly or Georgia, wherever you are, give me a comment out there. I see you 5972 with your hand raised. We'll get to you in a minute. And now, without further delay, we're going to bring on Dr. Maxwell to get this thing popping today. He's going to cook it. Dr. Maxwell, oh, yeah, bring it, baby. Dr. Maxwell, we're not going anywhere. We're right here now. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Doing great. Is Dr. Bridges out here?
I have to see if he's on.
Amen.
But right now, okay, let's get the show started, and I'll make sure that I plug him in when you're ready for him.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, well, I want all of us to make a tribute to the elders and to the ancestors. So on Slido and also when you call in, give a tribute to yourself or somebody you know on Slido, make a comment, and questions. Because one of the things I heard this month that really turned me on, and that was a young lady was saying that we've got to love one another, the counselor. Brother Avalar talks about the mystery of the Bible and things of that nature. So we're learning something every week. And I want to say that we need to first learn to love ourselves, and then secondly, learn others, and thirdly, your higher power. So on this Memorial Day, this is our time to honor our foundations, and nobody can do it like you. And I'm going to use the phrase of one of my mentors, Dr. Howard Thurman, when he makes the statement, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that, because that's what the world needs, is people who have come alive. And that's what Brother Marvin and Brother George are trying to do on this piece, is to try to touch us and all of the other people who are presenting, and those of you who are making comments, for us to come alive together so that we can come up with this come together day that we've been talking about. I'm going to take two elders and share with you after Dr. Bridges makes some comments on some other persons that he's dealing with. But let me start off with this. Someone has said this: love is a gift of giving and service. when we talk about love, it's not just an emotion. It's a gift of giving, sharing, and caring for one another. One book has put it this way, though I speak with the tongues of men, of humankind, and of angels, and have not charity, which means love in action, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You see, we don't need people with flowery tongues and saying this stuff. We've got to do something that even if you could speak like an angel and all of these things without love being the undergirding pieces, all we're doing is making noise, a sounding brass mm-hmm. and a tinkling cymbal. The second mm-hmm. piece said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and all of these are good things to have, and I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. We all were one. And though I could move mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Third piece says, and though I bestow my gifts to feed the poor and be willing to give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. What is love? Love sometimes have to suffer long. It is kind. It endureth. It not varnished itself up. And is not puffed up. These are the things that love is not. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seeketh her own. Love is not easily provoked. It don't mean we can't be provoked, but we're not easily provoked. And love thinketh no evil. And the word evil, if you think about it, and flip it backwards, it means to live. So evil means to live backwards. And it says that we don't behave ourselves unseemly. We're not trying to seek glory for ourselves, but we want to rejoice, not in iniquity, but in joy in the truth. Because sometimes you're going to see something on TV and somebody going to be on there. It could be a lie. And so we should not rejoice with that. Then what else is love? Love beareth all things. You've got to go through a whole lot of this word. It believeth all things. Though we may not have it the way we want to now, we believe that we can have it if we do it our way. And then it says love hopeth all things. We got to have hope. And Jesse said that we got to keep hope alive and have
on,
endurance
Maxwell.
As a good soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe the word says that love never faileth. Not ultimately. But whether there be prophecies, that's great. They're going to fail. Whether they be tongues, whatever it might be, they will cease. And whether they be and vanish away. For we know in part, even now we're learning as we go. And we speak in part. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a woman and a man, or the other, I put away childish thing. I want to talk about, when my time comes, how some of our great scholars and speakers and thinkers, they started out raw when they got their material. But as they developed, they recognized that they had to, when they're speaking to their own audience, all of that stuff is fine. But if you want to get it out to other folks, you've got to understand who you're talking to and the audience that you're dealing with. And my brothers and sisters, we need to grow up. For now, we see through a glass darkly, which means dim. But one day we'll see face to face, and that's when we're going to come together one day in Richmond, Virginia, where we'll be able to see one another. Now, of all of the attributes, abide of faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I want to make a tribute to the women in this audience. Looking back over history, they are all gone to that ancestry place. The Women's Club that started in 1895. It was to lift up and clam up was their ideology. The people that was in, women that was in that club was Ida B. Wells, Ella Baker, Constance Baker. They were on a movement fighting against anti-lynching. And Ida Woods Wales was one of the leading people. Want to pay tribute to Dr. Francis Cress Welch. Want to give tribute to Fannie Lee Hammond and all of the sisters that's out there today. You can call your own name. So they worked hard, but in 1895, they decided that they had to do something else. And so they got together in Detroit. And then some came from Boston. And in 1896, they got the National Association for Colored Women, and the foundation of that ministry was very powerful with women. Where would this world be without the women in our life? Where would we be if we didn't have women who could hold us up and we can hold them up at the same time? These women were combating the general disadvantage they had from coming over to Africa. Now they were over here, but they had bruises from slavery, having to be up under the master and could not even control their own body. So their preamble was developing a self-definition of black women. Number one, that we are respectable and we are self-respect and we're going to be honored. They was looking for voting and housing rights and fighting against discrimination, Mary Church Terrell, and I said before, Fannie Williams and Mary McLeod Bethune was leaders in that movement. They got involved in the church and politics, fighting against social justice and fighting against civil rights, yes, and dealing with the subject in the 20th century of lynching and fighting in that particular area. And early in that 20th century, they emerged as an institutional church. And most of these people were involved in some type of social club, some type of community activities, fraternities and sororities. But I want to give tribute to those women of the faith and those women who are in this audience and to give us encouragement along the way. Dr. Bridges, are you here? Okay. He's not here at the time. So I'm going to deal with two people. One of them you know very well. Dr. Bridges may be dealing with the same
person. Dr. Maxwell, let me see. Dr. Bruce, yes. Is it you?
Yes, I'm here. Been here all the while, brother. I'm listening.
All right. All right.
Bridges,
you switched up numbers on me.
You. Yes. We want to take this Memorial Day and function in on the people who are African Americans. So, Dr. Bruce, will you bless us now?
Yeah, I'm just going to take a few minutes of your time today, Dr. Maximal, not to talk too long.
Take as much time as you need.
I'm not. You know, I'm on so often. I just. But anyway, the first thing I'd like to say, I want to, because of what you are saying on this program, I'm hearing you on, and I'm on this phone, had another phone going on. I just talked to another friend of mine, and she was talking about how a lot of our people are going back to the ancestors. We're transitioning, we're getting sick, and there are a lot of things going on in our lives. So your comments, Dr. Maxwell, were very, very, very appropriate in what you said. And believe it or not, before I spoke to Brother Marvin, the reason he didn't know I was on the other phone, listening to you on one phone, but on the other phone, I was speaking to my brother up in New Jersey, who has just become a listener. He probably just called in from a 609 or 666 number, Brother Marvin, and he should be listening because I just gave him the number. I'm always telling people about the program. But anyway, he was talking about some trials and tribulations that he's going through in his life, and then, of course, we have to dedicate the program again to our brother Herbert White, who was just transitioned about a week ago. You see, went into a hospital just for a hernia, but doctors, as myself and my brother were just talking about, and I know people didn't tune in to hear this, but doctors, lawyers, teachers, preachers, mechanics, whatever, athletes, entertainers, people make mistakes. doctors can make mistakes oftentimes, and sometimes they're supposed to cure you, but at the same time, they can kill you. They may not mean to. Then again, they might mean to, but they may not mean to you. I'm serious in most cases. But they can make mistakes. So I was trying to handle some things on the line at the same time, Dr. Maxwell, to try to tie in with Memorial Day because of the fact we lost Harry Belafonte within the last 3 weeks. We lost Jim Brown within the last few days, and also Tina Turner within the last few days, and probably others that I'm not mentioning. But since we're talking about memorializing our people, our foundations, we have to give credit to people who have whose shoulders that we stand upon. None of us, as Brother Kebeline said a few weeks ago, come up with any ideas on our own. They're all based upon something that we've heard from somebody else, from history, from some of our experiences, or whatever the case may be. So when we look at this Memorial Day, we have to memorialize our people, as Brother Marvin said, who have done things for us. Jim Brown, born in 1932, February 17th, died May 18th this year. But Jim Brown came from humble beginnings in South Carolina on an island called St. Simon's Island, which is located just between Savannah, Georgia, and Jacksonville, Florida, one of the so-called sea islands there of the Southeast. And Jim Brown went to a little small high school. Now, which we're not getting into right now, but which is another subject for another time. I always think about Brother George. When I start to talk about something, I have to stay focused because I can go off into a lot of different directions. But Jim Brown was born on an island that was originally inhabited by the Creek Indians, the black Indians, who were some of the indigenous people of this country. The black Indians that David Imhotep talks about in his book, the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, the Cherokee, and the Creek Native Americans, or Indians as they were called. But Jim Brown grew up on St. Simon's Island, which was inhabited originally by the Black Creek Indians, and then they began to mix and mingle with the African slaves who had been brought here from Africa, you see. So Jim Brown was an offspring of those two cultures, which eventually became called the Gullah culture. And then Jim Brown went to New York to live with his mother, who went there to work as a domestic, and he really grew up on Long Island, from one island to the other, from St. Simon's Island, South Carolina, to Long Island, New York, where he became a standout in football, and not just football, but he also, when he went to college, he played football mostly, but in high school he lettered in lacrosse, in basketball, baseball, track and field, and of course football. And as a matter of fact, Jim Brown is the first African American to be inducted into the Lacrosse Hall of Fame, and we won't get into that right now either. That's also a very interesting subject, because lacrosse is a sport that was created by the black Native Americans in this country. And it was a ceremonial game, and like the ancient Egyptians or the people of Kemet, in playing lacrosse, the Native Americans would bury many of the lacrosse players with their sticks and with other tools that they used in playing the game, because it was believed that they would come back. So you see similarities between what happened in Kemet and with what happened in America, because we are one people all around the globe. So Jim Brown went through that. Then, of course, he went through racism at Syracuse University, a white man sponsored him to get there. He couldn't live in the dormitories with the other white players, and they made sure now, they say, Jim, be quite sure that you don't mix and mingle with these white women. That's what the white coaches told him at University of Syracuse when Jim Brown went there. And then later on, Jim Brown, of course, he became the leading rusher and went and played for the Cleveland Browns. We understand that, and we understand the history he had with women and abuse, which reminds me, Dr. Maxwell, also, of what you said, which is another subject for another time. abuse and women and Jim Brown. He went through some things with that. And, of course, Tina Turner, who we're also memorializing today, not that she has done that much as far as I know for African-American people or for us as a people, but she did come through some hardships and some trials and some tribulations in her life coming out of Nutbush, Tennessee, and kind of making it on her own and walking away from an abusive relationship with Ike Turner and still standing on her own. So I wanted to mention her as we talk about Memorial Day and memorializing our own. And, of course, we cannot forget Harry Belafonte. Harry Belafonte, again now, and I didn't think about this, Brother George, until I'm talking about this, but Belafonte also from the islands. Belafonte from Jamaica, Jim Brown from St. Simon's Island, South Carolina, went to Long Island, New York, and Jamaica, and then Harry Belafonte from the island of Jamaica in the Caribbean. You see, so African people are spread everywhere all around this globe on little islands and little crooks and crannies and alleys and speakeasies and liquor houses and Black Bottom and Haiti. We are everywhere all over this globe. So Belafonte also moved to New York, as did Jim Brown. And Harry Belafonte, of course, has always stood up and spoken out for Black causes. And Harry Belafonte was very, very much responsible for influencing many of the jazz entertainers like Miles Davis and Max Roach. And he also influenced Sidney Poitier and brother played Cotton Comes to Harlem, Deke O'Malley, whose name escapes me right now, Calvin Lockhart. He influenced Calvin Lockhart. So the foundation that we stand upon is very important. And this is why, as I conclude, that when we talk about Solomon in the Bible, who built the temple, and when we go into masonry, those who are in our listening audience who are masons, and when you become a mason, you first of all become a fellow craft, then you become you become an entered apprentice, then you become a fellow craft mason, and then you become a master mason. But the first stone that's laid in the foundation of any building, the first stone that's laid is a cornerstone, the stone in the northeast corner. And that is the stone, as the Masons said, symbolically, and as the Brother Kevlon says, things can be looked at on all levels. It can be symbolical, allegorical. It can be taken literally. It can be taken figuratively, all kinds of ways. But the Masons allegorically talk about the stone that the builder refused. As Bob Marley says, will one day be the head cornerstone or the headstone in the corner. So this stone that we lay, or this foundation that Dr. Maxwell is talking about, has to be a foundation that's stable. It has to be tough. It has to be strong. It has to be resilient. It has to be able to take all kinds of hits and punches and knocks and blows to stand, and that's what we've had. We've had some very, very, very strong foundational people in our history who we should not forget. And Dr. Maxwell and myself and Brother George and Brother Marvin and other people who are listening here, we have to become the foundation for other people who are coming after us. So with that, I'm finished, Brother Marvin. Back to you, Dr. Maxwell. I hope I have added something to the program.
Oh, you have, Brother. Brother Marvin,
yes, sir.
You told me
thank
about
you, Dr.
a
Bruce.
Celebration you had, and Brother George talks about somebody that you turned him on to. So I want to give you all an opportunity to pay tribute to somebody alive, our ancestors, that has made an impact on your lives.
All right, Brother George.
Well, the person that's made the greatest impact on my life is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes, I am a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but by the time I was really active in the nation was rebuilt by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, in the beginning,
the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did a lot more teaching than what he does today. He talked a lot about, you know, the politics of the world and all that, but back then he was really teaching, and a lot of what he taught laid the groundwork for me to change my life from who I was at the time. And so I always feel like I earned the title of Brother George through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I will always respect the minister. I don't care if the minister is not perfect or whatever. You know, he's entitled to his mistakes as well as anyone else. And if someone can point out a leader that's flawless, you know, from the past, then I might agree with them on the minister making a mistake or two. But I don't know of any. So the minister is, you know, will always be in my heart, and he's in my heart right now, and he's still teaching and still influencing our people. And so in that vein, I try to do the same thing. I try to give our people whatever I can to help our people, you know, be uplifted from the condition that we're in, which is what the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is all about in the first place, is to rehabilitate our people. So that's who I would like to comment on.
Thank you, thank you. Now, if some of you out there on the line, you can hit Slido, and Marvin will be able to share some of that as we go, and you could be a part of this presentation. All right, Brother Marvin.
Absolutely.
Or they can call,
all right,
or they can call
you,
in on the telephone, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. 845-277-9250. I'll say it a little slower. 845-277-9250 or slido.com. The number today is 429-7794, slido.com, and you can join right in.
All right, thank you for asking, Dr. Maxwell. I won't be long, but I'm not an island, right? And who I am is created and manifested in relationships. And I'll start with my family, right? I come from really good people, right, with character and dignity. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had character and we had love for each other. Right, so I had to start with my grandmother and my grandfather, right, because they were the foundation in terms of goodness, good, hardworking people. So I have to recognize all of my family members and the way in which we've been taught to love each other. Then there's my mother, right? My mother showed me, right, over these years, I hope you're listening, Ma, I love you, that your life is the representation of who you are. And you got to live what you say you are, right? And that was the example. And so she showed me consistently over and over again how to live and how to be a human being, how to respect yourself and how to respect others. And again, none of us are perfect, but the example is there, right? The example of kindness, right? And even forgiveness, right? That we all need to plaster on our hearts that we got to learn how to forgive. Nobody's perfect, like Brother George said, right? We're going to make some mistakes along the way. So it is, again, those people, my wife now, my current wife, right, that has shown me kindness, right, and respect and dignity, right, and, again, is working on love for self. And finally, and lastly, and I won't hold this conversation up, is Brother George, right? When I came back from the Army in 1989, 1990, I was basically new back to the city. Brother Ishmael Fulani, if you're listening, love you, brother, turned me on to Brother George, and Brother George gave me my $1 million, $1 billion African education. He would bring, back then it wasn't even CDs, it was cassettes, and he would bring books, and he would say, look at this and watch this and listen to this. And I can say honestly, thank you, Brother George, and I tell him every time I see him, thank you, because you were the foundation for me learning about who I am
and he was consistent and persistent. We did study groups, and he was always giving to share, always giving and sharing information. So that's it. My family, my mother, my grandparents, my wife, and a host of other people, and Brother George for my African education.
Amen. It's always to give tribute.
Yeah.
The first person I want to
let me say a little bit, you know, to that. Along the way, you know, of being under the minister, I also met a gentleman that's on the line, Dr. Bridges. And without Dr. Bridges teaching me and encouraging me and giving me the opportunity to build a library, I wouldn't know half of what I know. You know, Dr. Bridges has given me a lot. He's came and lectured to my friends. He has a wealth of knowledge that is, it's like beyond belief how much he knows. And, you know, I would like to pay tribute to him as well.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to pay tribute to you and Brother Marvin in a few minutes, too, Dr. Bridges and I. Well, the first person is Malcolm X. And in the 1990s, he was in Los Angeles, and some type of riot or something had been going on, and Malcolm was at the airport, and all of the press was out there, and we grow, you know, when we first start, we're raw, and we say things, but once you start maturing, you recognize that if you're going to meet the masses, you've got to consider the people that you're speaking to. And his subject matter was on the meaning of the Bible and Jesus. And he talked about what we're talking about now, because I think Malcolm recognized that a whole lot of things were being said about the leadership of the organization that he was a part of and saying things about him. And how the oppressor always tries to go to the press if you've got a strong message to try to destroy you, even with lies and innuendos and things like that. So Malcolm, while he was at the airport, he talked about, he said, I'm not going to be ashamed. I've been to jail. And he said, anybody who stands up for justice got a good chance of going to jail. And he called a roll. Fannie Lou Hammond went to jail. Martin Luther King went to jail. Moses, he used biblical characters, went to jail. James Farmer went to jail. And he said, if you go to the Bible, he said, they put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. They put the Hebrew boys in jail. And anybody who stands up against injustice and oppression and stuff, brothers and sisters, we got to put our arms around them because the culture wants to destroy every woman and every man who's standing up against injustice. And then he said about Jesus. He said, I believe if Jesus was here today, you know, and, you know, I have the video. I've had it for years. Jesus wouldn't be hanging out with the people of authority who are oppressing people, that he would be also among the least and the lost, the oppressed. His words were the downtrodden, the exploited, those who have lost their way and who did not know their way and did not have some of the knowledge that they were supposed to have. And like you said, if Jesus was here today, he would be against the oppressed and that type of thing. So it wasn't an issue whether it was that some would believe there never was a Jesus, and some believe all kind of things. But when you're talking to a lot of people, you got to recognize there are some people who are connected to certain people. And then he went around and talked about Elijah Muhammad, that he went around and told two lies on Elijah Muhammad, said he had gotten arrested because he had done something to a young person. We're not talking about sexually. It was his, but the press had this negative information out, making innuendos and stuff. And so Malcolm wanted to make it clear that day. He said, now, what happened was that Elijah Muhammad was not going to let his children go to the public schools in Detroit. And so he held them back from going there. And then they done some teaching with Adam Clayton Powell and Chick Andy Diop, and he talked about Nat Turner and Rosa Parks and David Walker and H. Rapp Brown, who people have forgotten. He's in jail, but we should not forget him, and Dr. Bridges always shared that information with us. We have other people in that area like Asa Hilliard, John Clark, Chick Andy Diop, all people who stood for something but did not fall for anything. And so they arrested Elijah Muhammad, and that's what they were trying, but they wouldn't tell the truth. They'll put all kind of stuff. So when you got leaders, we must say that they're going to try to think that the biggest lie that they can tell, they're going to tell. Now, the next person that I want to lift up is a man that was hard on the church when he first got started. He was born in December 31st, 1918. And went back to the ancestors, my brothers and sisters, in the ancestors in 2022, I think that's when it was. He was a man who had written over 49 books. He taught at Cornell University, African Studies, and Rutgers University, and he was on the Gil Noble Show, WABC-TV, with a show called Like It Is. He was born in Ethiopia to a Puerto Rican Jewish mother and an Ethiopian father. He was educated in Puerto Rico and Brazil and Cuba and Spain and earned degrees in engineering and pathology and culture and Moorish history. He got honorary degrees from the Sojourner Douglas College in Baltimore, Maryland, and the Marymount College in New York, and the Mega Evers College in Brooklyn, New York. And that person is none other than Dr. Joseph Alfredo Ben Jacome. We're going to call him Dr. Ben. He was a person who went around giving tours in the Nile Valley 15 days a year, carrying over 200 people in about 15 sessions. He was respected by many African-American intelligentsia like Cornel West and others. Dr. Ben donated, before his death, his library of more than 35,000 books, volumes, and manuscripts, and ancient scrolls to the Nation of Islam, the Black Man on Jesus, Muhammad, et cetera, et cetera. But on this particular day, I have a manuscript from him. He was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Now, he was born, I said, early years. But when he gave this speech, he was about 44 years of age in 1979. And he was in Detroit, Michigan at the Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. He knew where he was on a Saturday. The pastor of that church was none other than the great F.D. Sampson II, one of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest community leaders the world has ever known. A lot of these people we don't know in Detroit, Michigan. They were celebrating their 32nd church anniversary, and Dr. Ben was introduced. And he came up. He had some little jokes. And he won the people over, and he shared with them. He studied that audience, mm-hmm, and he knew where he was. And at this time, he was about 61 years of age. He started off, my brothers and sisters, he's given us a great technique. Know the language of your people. Know the people that you're talking to and the audience that you're talking to. Now, his subject for that day was Christianity, African Roots. And he started out from the manuscript. I'll say some of it. I came to celebrate with you your 32nd anniversary of this church. I also came to celebrate a person you know and want to celebrate his first anniversary. And he talked about, I'm going to take you from the known to the unknown. One of the techniques I noticed that Dr. Ben used this day is that if you're going to try to lead people to places that they don't know, We don't tell them how dumb they is or whatever it might be. We may not say that literally, but meet them where they are and then take them where you want to take them, okay? The person, that first anniversary, now remember now, this is the 32nd anniversary of this church, and he said, but I want to bring in the first anniversary of a person who laid down his life at Calvary, who eventually became a deity of your religion. And Dr. Behan let the book talk. He said, I looked through your Bible in the pews, and I saw nothing but pictures in there, like Brother Avalon said, that had people in there and even angels in there that don't look like me. But I'm so glad we got people like Cain Hope Felder, who has an African Heritage Bible. So if you're going to buy one, and if you're going to go out to Amazon or something, buy the African Heritage Bible, which has pictures of us in there. And then he went positive with that group. He said, but some things, where I read in the Bible, he started talking. When he was talking about Jesus, he was in Revelation, the first chapter. His hair was white like lamb's wool. His feet were polished brass as though they had been burned in a furnace. I know you don't know who I'm talking about and the people there. He said, I read again about this mother who brought Jesus to Egypt. And the last time I heard about Egypt, it was in Africa. So he's on his way. And the last time I saw Egypt on the map, it was still in Africa. He wasn't going to hit them real hard, but he was moving smoothly along the way. And they talked about Herod trying to kill the baby boy, and that boy was down there in Moses. Then he talked about Moses in the third chapter. He said, you know the book I'm talking about. And then he made a joke. He said, now, really, the only Moses I was aware of was Isaac Hayes, the black Moses, the black Moses, and everybody laughed a little bit. Then he said, I'm talking about the Moses of Exodus. Now, this is Dr. Behan, one who can be hard and one can be coarse, but he was a man of wisdom and using the technique. Only Moses knows Isaac Hayes. And then he told him, he said, now, of the Exodus, he was born in Africa. See, he's trying to set it up in the city of Goshen near the Nile River. And the last time I know that the Nile River was also in Africa. And he was going to take this church on a tour of the history. He said, now I'm going to take you now. You know, I'm going to let you know I know something about your book. I'm going to take you on a tour. But let me tell you something now. When you call a girl and you go to her family, you have to get permission from the mother and the father. So you've got a great pastor. You've got a great preacher. They knew each other, who's a great scholar, so I'm not trying to take his place. I'm not going to talk so much about theology directly because a man that you have here is more than worthy to do it. You see what I'm saying? You know, we ought to encourage one another as we go along the way. And so he said, I'm going to take you all on a tour of Africa. And when he comes to the house, that's what I got it on my next page. I wrote down these things. Of his daughter's house, you don't mess with mama, and everybody laughed. And then he talked about the white churches. He said, when we got over here, you had white churches because the colonizers in America never wanted African Americans to meet, not even on a street corner. That shows you the power is when we come together. Somebody going to know what somebody else does not know. And so he said, then I looked around in the history of the Methodist Church, the white Methodist Church, St. George Methodist Church in Philadelphia. He's done his homework down there in the St. George Methodist Church. He said, but I want to celebrate Richard Allen and Absalom Jones because in 1787, they got tired of being treated by that white church. They had to be in the nigger pews, and they had to either be outside and stuff like that. And when communion time came, they couldn't come to the altar. And Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, we want to let you know the church was involved in the movement. So let nobody tell you that all churches were doing nothing and just taking money for themselves. Here is Dr. Behan saying this. He called their name, and he said, they say, we're not going to take this anymore.
We're going to start our own church. And when they started that church, they lacked Methodism. That is the structure of it and that type of thing. But they didn't like the way they was treating. So they walked away, and they started the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which you know now as the AME Church, and they call it Mother Bethel. That church was a global church that had ministries in Africa. And then he went to another Methodist church, a white church, with Christopher Rush and James Varick. This was in New York. They faced the same thing. And them brothers decided they was not going to be enslaved in that white church. They broke away, and Charles started the AME Zion Church, okay? And then God called them out of bondage to the marvelous light. And the scripture that they used was Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those that are captives, and set the captives free, and give the word of God. And then he said, but what about the Baptists? Because he's in a Baptist church. He said, I remember Mr. Palmer. Yes, there was a black church, because they too could not sit where they wanted to sit. So he said, you a Baptist church. And so the white Baptist church and the black members split away and started their own church and denomination. He said, I remember the name of Mr. Palmer. Yes, we have black churches. This was the time when the black church was a revolutionary church with men and women like Henry Holland Garnett, Denmark Vesey, David Walker, Nat Turner, Sojourner Truth, Madam C.J. Walker, Frederick Douglass, Clara White, who a lot of times the women would go out in the community and start old folks' homes. They would start children's homes. They would start rest homes and drug treatment homes. And they didn't name it after their church and denomination. They just named it after something because they wanted everybody to come. All right? And let me go on now. They remember that, and then what Dr. Ben was doing was setting this thing up. He said, they remember when there was slavery bought from Africa, but they didn't know everything. And he said, but I'm going to take you somewhere where you haven't been. Now, he has now, at this time, he's loosened the audience. They don't know who he is. He's made them laugh. He's told some jokes. And then he get down to them. And then he said, let me take you on the tour. They remembered that it was not slavery. He said, I want to remind you, Tabernacle Church, that it was not slavery that brought you to America. You didn't get Christianity in America. You got it in Africa, And Christianity did not start in America. It was you who brought Christianity to Europe. So he talked about Paul. He said, Paul create Christianity? Paul was trying to explain the ancient African religion to the Roman Greeks in only the words that they would know. The church, he's talking to this church now. The church started in Egypt. Ethiopia is a Christian church, a religion. Over 100 years, you had the Coptic church before even they knew about Christianity and the Nicene Creed when the Romans took that Bible and done some things to it. But no matter what they tried to do with it and put them pictures in there, they couldn't take everything out of there if you study that book. And then he said, I'm talking about your people. Your ancestors, they didn't know this. He didn't make them feel bad about what they did not know. He made them have a hunger and a thirst to know something. And he said, I'm talking about religion as a way of life that comes out of the bios of Central America. Because when we look at the Book of the Dead and the other text there, the Coptic text, he said, there's 147 negative confession that Brother Avalon talked about, okay? They probably didn't even know that. There was a time I did not know that. Mm-hmm. But he said, but that's where the Ten Commandments come. Well, they didn't know that. Nobody got mad with him because he had won them over. Then he said, look at Akhenaten of Imhotep. Yes, they're talking about this fella, Hippocrates, was the father of medicine. He said, that's just like a white man going to Louis Armstrong, learning jazz, and become the father of jazz. And everybody laughed. To think about the people in the Bible and the third river. He went back there. He said, they're talking about the third river in Genesis, the second chapter, in your mind. Flow through that land of Ethiopia, which is Havilah. I talked about that the first time I was here. And so he said, when you look in the mirror, you can see yourself if you read it right. This Bible is your history. Your homecoming celebration is something. When you speak of the Nile River, think and remember that it was there that that infant Jesus went down that river to Pharaoh. In other words, he know they know these stories, but now he's connecting it to their African group. This means one thing to another and another thing to another. And he never heard about Jesus and Herod and those kind of things. But time is running out. So much I want to say. But I just thank Dr. Ben for sharing and opening the eyes of the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I'm going to say, everywhere I've gone in these years, I've been a teacher and a preacher and a pastor. I've known this information, but I had to make sure I couched it in a way that folks can eat it. I couldn't give them a steak to get started. I had to give them some fruit. I had to give them some softness so that they would know who they are, because the people who know who they are cannot and will not be defined by others. He talked to them about the Book of the Dead. And when it was all over, and I know a member of that church still there, the pastor's daughter is still there, and her father has passed. And she told me what that pastor done and what bringing in people like Dr. Ben was rich for that church forever and ever. And that's what Brother Marvin wants us to do, to have a national come-together day. A come-together day of reasoning and reckoning. And then where we might be able to create something even special, having seminars and culture awareness seminars. Maybe Dr. Bridges would let us use that name, and that we would have continuing education. Maybe we'll have Zoom sessions that we can be able to see one another also. And that because we're going to have people from all walks of life, so that we can come together on common ground and do what needs to be done, because it's getting rough now. And I think that we can do this, and we can do it together, so we can stop talking. And some of you who have been listeners, if we can get the seminars and stuff, you can be trained, and who knows, you may be a guest on this show. You can go back to your community and do something, because I am convinced that there are a lot of people that's out here on the radio line. They can do the same thing I'm doing, same thing the people on this thing do, and we need to give them an opportunity to also learn. And that's what I'm all about, come together day. And I'll just finish it the next full Sunday, Saturday, and some other things.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. I love it. I love it. We got to come together. There's no other way. There is no other way. We can search and we can seek and we can look and we can knock, but we're going to find that when we come together and start working together, right, we don't have to agree on everything. We can agree to disagree, but we still got to work together. There's a group out here in the world that does that really well. They don't always agree on everything, but they agree on a few things that they keep right together no matter what. Anyway, that's a different subject. Let's go to Slido real quick. We have 15 minutes left, or probably about 10, but we're working here. All right, real quick, a couple of Slidos for you, Dr. Maxwell, before we move forward. And I'll just start with the last one first. Religion as a way of life. Please elaborate on how we can manifest that in the modern world. How can we manifest religion as a way of life in this modern world and culture?
Well, we go back to our African roots. Mm-hmm. They didn't necessarily have buildings in Africa. Everywhere. It's a way of life daily, not just on a Sunday, not on a Saturday. But once we learn the edicts of African religion and philosophy, then we live it daily. That's what it means, you know. Not because you have a position, just because you're the preacher, you're the deacon, or whatever it is. It's a way of life. It goes with us when we're eating. It goes with us when we're riding together, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it means to come together as a way of life and living, and not just a theory, but something that we practice daily.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. The next Slido is Slido.com. If Jesus was here today, they would definitely lock him up and call it fake news. What are your thoughts on that?
That's right. And so Dr. Ben and others knows that folks don't think that Jesus existed, but a lot of people do. And so, and Malcolm said the same thing. If Jesus was here, yeah, they'd lock him up because he'd be going against the system, the economic system, the prison system, and the things that happen to us. And my brothers and sisters, we ain't got time to be fighting each other over picky you matters. We better come together at the table of sisterhood and brotherhood, and preferably do not leave the sisters out. Because Dr. Ben said this too in that lecture too. He said, we better, it was John Henry Clark said this. He said, we better be glad we had women who knew how to take them chitlins and pig feet and put them together. Because he said, him and Malcolm had a little dialogue about that. He said, if them women didn't know how to cook and make that stuff, you know, that's all we had, he and I would not have been there. And he said, Malcolm laughed at him and said, you're right. Because Malcolm didn't eat pork.
Mm.
But here's a man who ate some, not all the time. They were able to do what? Come together. So John Henry Clark was not saying that you just should eat pork all the time, but they were able to find some common ground.
All right, common ground. Final slide up. Education is the key. We have to make education, not games, important. We must provide our children with the proper tools in order to prepare them to lead. What are your thoughts on that,
Amen.
Dr. Maxwell?
Amen. Amen. It goes back to one of the great books that's out there by the father of Black History Month, The Miseducation of the Negro. I have all my students reading that book. Because the only thing people remember, they quote, I think, on page 25, yeah, we've been taught to go through the back door when it's not a back door. We'll make a back door, and everybody laughs. They ain't read the book yet. So my students, scholars, and I call my students scholars, yes, because I want them to know that I don't know everything, that they bring something to the table. I think I said it the first time I was there. If I'm the teacher the whole time and they're the student, I have failed them. There ought to be a time where I am the student and they're the teachers. And when I get my evaluation, this is no brag, just a fact, and I love it. They say, he cares about us. You can't have a better tribute to that. But when you see brothers and sisters after that, I'll never forget you shared this with us. And that's what I taught from day one, Africa and African-American religion, John M. Beattie, African Religion and Philosophy, and other books of that nature. That's what I want us to do.
I like it. Thank you for joining our online classroom today, 845-277-9250. It's the number to call. Let's go to the lines. 0673, you're first. You're up. Do you have a question, comment, a statement on our Memorial Day tribute?
Yeah, Hotep, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hotep, yes. Welcome.
Brother Kevin, so much to say, but I'm going to be brief, though, because Brother Maxwell was talking about African church, and we used to be a revolutionary, too, first. If you would have named the top 10 Africans in our community that worked towards our liberation, most of them would be preachers, or in the church, or in the mosque. King, he's the only one got a heartache for. He was a preacher. Malcolm was a preacher. Elijah, a preacher. Minister Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, a preacher. Ned Turner, they called him the prophet. Marcus Garvey, elements of Christianity in his messages, right? Gabriel Prosser, thought he was Solomon. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Fanny, let my people go Hamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So these people use the church as a revolutionary tool, right? And like Dr. Maxwell said, way, you got to meet people where they are. And what Dr. Ben did, that tape he mentioned, Dr. Ben, I got the cassette. And also, you can go online on YouTube and pick it up, right? But I want to pay homage to Mr. Miller. And why? Because if I were to name all the Africans that were instrumental in our liberation, If I had to think of one, it'd be Elizabeth Miller, because of his program For the People, which came on before a year before Tony Brower Journal, right? I was able to build my library from the people on his program. And he had Malcolm, he had so many Africans on his program. They cited certain books. I went and got the books. And he had people who could speak, who were living during the time George A. Rogers lived and things like that, and I could get those books and things. So I pay homage to him because he would be a sum total of all those Africans. Because of Elizabeth Miller, I was able to build my library, and then of course I met George and Bruce Bridges during around the same time. But all those very instrumental in my library and helped me to be who I am.
Brother Apple, I'll let you say this about you. When I met you first in Richmond, Virginia, you were a very gracious young man. You gave me and Dr. Bridges a copy of your book, and you signed it because you wanted to make sure that we had that information. Nobody has a monopoly, and I just thank God for you, too.
Well, I appreciate it. But I didn't know that's who I was listening to every weekend. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right, and Brother Kevlin is right? Elizabeth Middleton and those same cassettes that we were talking about, or DVDs now, Brother George was handing them out, and you had to turn them back in to get some more. All right, let's go on over to 7789-919-7789. Do you have a question, comment, or tribute on today's show? Welcome. 7789.
I like you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Welcome.
I would like to pay homage to my mother, Ms.
Yes.
Patricia Collins, who transitioned in December of 2021. She was a Sir Jonah Truth, a Harriet Tubman, an Ida B. Wells, and
Amen.
Angela Davis. She was all of them.
All of them.
She was all of them. She was the most powerful woman that I've ever ran across in my life. She educated 5 children of her own. All of them are with education past high school. And she raised 2 grandchildren. And all of them were educators. And she did it by herself. I was a product of a single parent. And I really can't say it would take forever for me to actually talk about my mother. She accomplished so much in her lifetime. Started with humble beginnings, the 9th of 14 children. And I guess it was their generation where a lot of her knowledge came from, because she had 9 brothers and 4 sisters, and all of them had children that graduated from college. So I think it was a generational thing, but I just wanted to give homage to her because I just wished all children could have experienced what I experienced with my mother.
Wow.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. That's beautiful, sister. Beautiful. All right. Anything you want to share with that, Dr. Maxwell?
The ancestors. We ought to give tribute to them because we have no idea. We think we're having it bad now. They went through a lot of things and kept those things from us and encouraged us. And we ought to never forget my mother. And I want to talk about my mama next time I talk, Mother D and Auntie. These people laid the foundation to who I am.
All right, let's go on over to 9116, 9116, area code 804, 9116. Do you have a comment, a thought, or a tribute?
Yes, I just want to say, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Hello. Oh, yes, just was saying, I appreciate the show, the consistency, the consecutive shows. It allows one to tap back into where we need to be and where we need to be going. The every Saturdays, it helps you align back into the actual goals and tasks of a African centered person. So I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Stay with us. All right, Dr. Maxwell. Closing comments. Mm-hmm. We'll have closing comments. Well, let's do Dr. Bruce first. Dr. Bruce, are you there? We'll have a closing comment from you. And then we'll,
I'm just wrapping it up with Dr. Maxwell. Just listening. Yes, sir. I'll give it to Dr.
Comment.
Maxwell.
All right. Defer to you, Dr. Maxwell. Close it out for us, brother.
Okay. There's a song that I love. The higher you build your barriers, the taller I become. The further you take my rights away, the faster I'll run. You can deny me. You can decide to turn your face away. No matter the cost, something inside of me that's so strong. Though you're doing me wrong, though you're trying to take my pride, there's something inside of me that refuses to let you put me down. The louder I sing, you hide behind the walls of Jericho. Your lies will come tumbling down, deny my place in time. You squander the wealth that's mine. My light will shine so brightly, it will blind you, because there's something inside so strong. I know we can make it, though you're doing us wrong. I know, brothers and sisters, we're going to stand on the promises of God.
Wow.
Remember, there's something in all of us that's so strong, and we can't let that thing that's in us stop us for the things that's outside of us. It is come together time, my brothers and sisters.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. Thank you so much. That's true. It's time to come together, brothers and sisters, and it's almost time to end our show for today. Great show, Dr. Maxwell, Dr. Bruce. Brother George, final comments from you, sir.
Great show, brother. Really, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Right? We're just trying to do the work while we're here. Right? There's some things that need to be done. Number one, we got to meet our people right where they are. I'm going to say that again. You are not perfect. None of us that are listening, right? None of us, the ones who are not listening, we're not perfect. But we can begin to communicate for understanding. We have to come together to meet each other right where they are. Many of our people are in dysfunctional states. That's okay. But healing has to take place in two places, within the hearts and the minds of our people. We're going to have to learn how to love each other again, unconditionally, because we have been broken. And the healing must take place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, socially, and financially or economically. We're going to have to heal. And that healing has to take place through doing the inner work, but it also takes place with communication. We're going to have to learn how to talk to each other with love and respect and dignity for humanity that's inside of us. The last piece is this before we go. Do something this week to improve yourself and your community. Just one thing. Again, if that's just making a phone call to check on an elderly person, if that's to help a child with mentoring or helping with homework, do something with your gift and your lifetime while you have it. It is African American empowerment, 365 days. And like Dr. Maxwell says, we wrap up today. We have to come together. Brother Booker says it all the time. We're going to have to come together. We're going to have to rectify some issues. We're going to have to be able to say no to some things. And I'm challenging you to begin to say no to yourself about some ways in which you think, right, that we gather ourselves away from the conditioned state and improve our minds and our hearts so we can become the best people that we can be today and every day. That's our show for this week. The tributes have gone. I'll continue to give those tributes to your ancestors, your mothers, your fathers, right? And last thing, some people make mistakes. All of us don't have great parents, but they produced you. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Have a great day, brothers and sisters. And whatever you do, stay black, but be the blessed, best black person you can be on this planet.
Yes,
until we come back again next week. Peace and blessing, brothers and sisters. Always reach for that star, and if you can't get it, keep grasping for it. Peace and blessings. Have a great day. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. Peace.